Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Today, we continue our study of the human life of Jesus on earth with Jesus in Jerusalem for the final Passover with his disciples. We come to the time in the early evening on the day when the Passover lamb was sacrificed. Overlooked by most today because in the modern era we reckon days from midnight to midnight, God always reckoned days from sunset to sunset. Looking back to the first chapter of the book of Genesis, each day of the creation week was identified as the evening and the morning. On the day when the Passover lamb was killed would have also been the time of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We know from the biblical account that the events of the Christian Passover happen in the evening portion of the day, identified as the Passover in Leviticus chapter 23. It was after the sun had set in the evening portion of the Passover day that the disciples asked Jesus where he wanted to eat the Passover meal. Jesus gave them instructions to find a man with a pitcher of water and to follow him back to his house and to ask the homeowner where the guest chamber is, where Jesus could eat the Passover meal with his disciples. They followed Jesus' instructions and found the man and came to a house with a large upper room furnished and prepared. Mark chapter 14, verse 12. In the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wherever he shall go in, say ye to the good men of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth, and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. It was before the feast of the Passover, the night before the sacrificing of the lamb, that Jesus knew he would soon die and return to the Father. Yet Jesus loved his disciples and would continue to love them. The meal was finished, and Judas Iscariot was fully committed to betraying Jesus. It was with this in mind that Jesus stood up from the meal and took a towel. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. Jesus took a basin and poured water into it and began to wash the feet of the disciples and wipe them with the towel that he had taken. This prompted a questioning concern from Peter, who wanted to know why Jesus was washing his feet. And Jesus replied that Peter would not be able to understand what Jesus was doing. Peter replied that Jesus would never wash his feet, and Jesus told Peter that if Peter did not allow the foot washing, Peter would no longer be part of the disciples. With this understanding, Peter asked that his hands and head be washed as well, and Jesus explained that only the feet needed to be washed to make a person clean, but that not all of the disciples were clean, because Jesus already knew Judas would betray him. Verse 5. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. After washing each of the disciples' feet and sitting back down, Jesus explained to the disciples what he had just done. He told them that they had correctly called him Master and Lord. He explained that if he as Master and Lord had been willing to wash the feet of the disciples, they ought to wash one another's feet, because the servant is not greater than the master, and because Jesus was not greater than God the Father. As we participate in the foot washing of the Christian Passover, we are happy if we do this. Verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. While speaking to the disciples, Jesus knew his betrayer Judas would eat with them. Jesus reminded everyone of the scripture that he would be betrayed so that when it happened, the rest would believe. Whenever a person receives another individual sent by Jesus, that person also receives Jesus. And people who receive Jesus receive God the Father. Verse 18, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Jesus then directly told the disciples that one of them would betray him, even though Jesus already knew it would be Judas Iscariot. This revelation caused the disciples to wonder who the betrayer might be, showing it wasn't obvious to them. Some began to wonder if they would be the betrayer, prompting Peter to ask Jesus if he would betray Jesus. Jesus told Peter his betrayer would be the disciple to whom Jesus gave a piece of bread dipped in gravy. When Jesus gave that piece of bread to Judas, Judas was immediately possessed by Satan the devil. And Jesus gave Judas a directive to act quickly. No other person at the table understood that Judas was the betrayer, and Peter probably was having a hard time processing what he was just told. When Jesus told Judas to act quickly, the disciples thought that Jesus had told Judas to go buy food for the feast and to feed the poor because Judas was what today would be called the chief financial officer of the group. Judas left immediately. Verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Jesus knew with the departure of Judas his fate was sealed, and he would be glorified through his resurrection after his death. Jesus shared with the remaining disciples that he would soon leave them and gave them a new commandment to love one another. Jesus told them that loving one another would be the only sign that would help other people understand they were indeed the disciples of Jesus. While the Sabbath, the holy days, the commandments, clean and unclean meats, and prophecy are all important to us, what Jesus said would make us known to others as the disciples of Jesus would be if we have love one for another. Several different Greek words are translated as love in the New Testament. Agape, including variations of agape, is the Greek word used in this passage of John. Agape is a spiritually minded form of love, sometimes thought of as godly love. And for us, it includes elements of kindness, peacefulness, and love. The word charity, used today to denote providing to a person less fortunate, was previously used as the word for love. In the early history of the church, people with excess shared what they had with people in need. Verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you. A new commandment I give you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Jesus then took bread, blessed it, and broke it into pieces, giving to the disciples, explaining that the bread was symbolic of the body of Jesus. He also gave them a cup of wine and had them drink the wine, which was symbolic of his blood of the New Testament, which was shed for the forgiveness of sins. The bread and the wine were new symbols given for the Christian Passover along with the foot washing. Jesus went on to add that he would no longer drink wine until the kingdom of God is established on earth. Afterwards, they sang a hymn and went to the Mount of Olives. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Once they were at the Mount of Olives, Jesus explained to the disciples that each of them would be offended that evening. The Greek word for offended is scandalizo, from which we get the word scandalous and scandal. That evening, it would be very scandalous for any person to be affiliated with Jesus. And when Peter told Jesus he would never deny him, Jesus told Peter before the crack of dawn, when the rooster crowed, Peter would have already denied Jesus three times. None of the disciples thought they would deny Jesus that evening. Verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Jesus reminded the disciples that they had previously been sent out by Jesus, having been given no provisions, and during their trips, the disciples acknowledged they lacked nothing. Jesus explained to them, life ahead for them would be different, that they would need to physically equip themselves for their physical life on their journey of faith, as his time living as a man on earth was coming to an end. Luke chapter 22, verse 35. And he said unto them, When I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, Nothing. Then said he unto them, But now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this is written, must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, It is enough. Jesus reminded the disciples to not be troubled by believing in God the Father and Jesus Christ. He explained that in his Father's house there are many mansions, meaning there would be a place for them in the kingdom of God, and that Jesus was leaving to prepare a place for them, and that he would return for his disciples, and that they would know the way to the kingdom of God. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas told Jesus that they did not know where he would be going, and they could not possibly know the way. Jesus explained that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life to take us to God the Father, and that nobody goes to God the Father without first knowing Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus shared with the disciples that if they knew Jesus, they would have known God the Father as well. Philip was unconvinced and asked Jesus to show God the Father to the disciples. Jesus had to remind Philip and the disciples that they had spent an incredible amount of time with him, and that by knowing Jesus, they had come to know God the Father. Jesus reminded them that the words he spoke were not his words, but the words of God the Father, and that all that Jesus did was done through God the Father. Verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not when I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Jesus shared with the disciples that once Jesus returned to God the Father, his followers would be able to do greater works than Jesus when we ask anything in the name of Jesus. Verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus told them, if they loved him, they would keep his commandments. This would include the commandments that Jesus kept, the Ten Commandments, and the new commandment to love one another that Jesus had just given. Verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. When we keep the commandments, including the new commandment to love one another and show love to Jesus, Jesus will ask God the Father to provide the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, who will be with us forever. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth that cannot be received by the world because the world does not know God the Father. It is through the Holy Spirit that Jesus does not leave us without comfort. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus shared that even though he would no longer be seen on earth, his followers would live because Jesus continues to live, that just as much as God the Father is intertwined with Jesus, Jesus will be intertwined with us. Jesus again reminded the disciples to keep his commandments, which would include not only the Ten Commandments, but the new commandment to love one another. When we show love to Jesus, we will be loved by God the Father, and Jesus will be part of our life as we keep the commandments and sayings of Jesus. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Jesus added that in his physical absence, the Holy Spirit would become our teacher, bringing all things to our remembrance. Verse 25. But these things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus added that he would give the disciples, and by extension his followers today, peace. The peace Jesus would give us would not be the peace given by this world. The kind of peace Jesus would give us would leave our hearts free from troubles and fear. Jesus gave this explanation contrasting his departure to return to God the Father to Satan, the prince of this world, who is nothing compared to Jesus, because Jesus loves and obeys God the Father. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me and would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, but the prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. As they were walking, Jesus compared himself to a vine with God the Father as the vineyard owner. He explained that God the Father will prune any branch that doesn't bear fruit so that the vine can flourish. Jesus explained that individually we cannot bear spiritual fruit of ourselves unless we abide with Jesus. And we do that by keeping his commandments, the Ten Commandments, and the new commandment to love one another. We know we abide in Jesus and have the words of Jesus when we ask of God the Father, and it is done for us. We bring glory to God the Father when we bear spiritual fruit. If we want to be a disciple of Jesus, this is what we must do. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and withered. And men gather him and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Jesus shared that he loved the disciples and each of us today just as God the Father had loved him. If we want to continue in the love of Jesus, we have to keep the commandments of Jesus, the new commandments given by Jesus, including the commandment to love one another, the New Testament teachings of Jesus, just as Jesus kept the commandments given by God the Father. Jesus wants our joy to be full, for his joy to remain in each of us. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The new commandment of Jesus is to love one another as Jesus loved us and laid down his life for all of us. When we do what Jesus tells us to do, we are the friends of Jesus, we are chosen by Jesus and ordained to spiritually grow, so that whatsoever we ask of God the Father in the name of Jesus, God the Father will give this to us. And we have to spiritually grow first. Jesus again reminded his disciples, as he reminds all who read this account, that he commands us to love one another. Verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Contrasting the love that his disciples are to have for each other, Jesus explained that if we find the world hates us, we know that it first hated Jesus. He reminds us that we are not of this world. We have been chosen from this world and should consider ourselves to be separate from this world. Jesus explained that just like he was persecuted, we can expect to be persecuted as well, even though they persecute us in the name of Jesus. This passage alludes to a time when many will know Jesus without knowing God the Father, without realizing their actions show how they hate Jesus and hate Jesus without cause. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. The Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus, just as the disciples who were with Jesus bore witness of him. And today we also bear witness of Jesus. Verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Jesus tells all of this beforehand, so we are not offended. And again, using the Greek word skandalizo, he told his disciples that he tells all who listen today that we will be excluded from the religious establishment, and some of us will be killed by people who think they are helping God, with these same people never realizing they do not know God the Father, nor do they know Jesus. John chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Jesus explained he was sharing this information ahead of time, so that when these events came to place, his words would be remembered. Verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Because Jesus knew he would soon be killed, he shared with the disciples that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would soon be sent, explaining that the Holy Spirit helps reprove sin that is in the world, affirms righteousness through the life of Jesus, and provides judgment on the prince of this world, Satan the devil. Verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And Jesus shared he hoped he would have shared many more things with the disciples, and that in his absence it would be the job of the Holy Spirit to guide the disciples, and by extension, each of us, into the all truth. He explained that after leaving in a little while, the disciples would once again see Jesus. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. The disciples started debating what Jesus meant by the phrase, a little while, and Jesus shared with them that when they again saw Jesus, their heart would be filled with joy, that whatever was asked in the name of God the Father would be given to them. Verse 17. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us, A little while, and ye shall not see me again, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said therefore, What is this that he saith a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye know, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And Jesus shared with the disciples that one day they would be shown God the Father through the love of Jesus, that Jesus was sent to earth by God the Father and would return to God the Father. He went on to explain that his disciples would soon be scattered, leaving Jesus alone to face his fate. And yet Jesus would not be alone, because God the Father would be with him. Jesus explained he shared these words with the disciples so they would have peace, understanding that Jesus had overcome the world. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I will say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. The disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Next week, we will study the arrest, trial, and death of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.